everyone, and welcome back to Hate Spinnerbait, the podcast where we hate spinnerbait, but we love that mother, aka Taylor Swift, has gotten the rights back to her masters.
Yay!
We're a little behind on the news. I mean, we're not. We were right there when it happened. Yes. But we didn't record last week.
With her so in the room.
We're with her. We're there when she signed over the rights, let me tell you. But yes, we had to say something this week because we didn't record last week. Also, because we didn't record last week, is this our first episode in June? I don't know. Even if it isn't, happy Pride Month, everyone. Happy Pride Month. And in case you're wondering, yes, the Philadelphia Eagles did post something about it. Just kidding. That's an inside joke. Now I feel like I will have to explain it because I just made it an outside joke.
You need to explain it.
Yeah, I'm going to have to explain that now. But hi, everyone. I'm Bethany. With me, as always, is Michael Ann. Michael Ann, hello. How are you? Happy Pride.
Happy Pride. Ooh, am I yelling?
No,
well, I am yelling, but can you?
Well, talk? Yeah, but it wasn't too aggressive. I don't think in my headphones it wasn't too aggressive. Okay, yeah. Okay. A couple bits and bobs before I swear. We're like really just going to mostly just dive into these chapters today. I promise. But hello, everyone. We've missed you. Yes, that's first and foremost. Second of all, okay, so the Philadelphia Eagles comment. Let me just briefly explain. So there's a guy I used to work with, and he's a douche nozzle extreme. But you know how, like, occasionally you keep those people on social media for the entertainment? You know, you're like, oh, for the plot. Like, we're gonna, you know, keep this person around. So I keep him on social media and I don't engage like 90% of the time because it's not worth it. He's dumb. He's always putting like inaccurate things on about just about everything. But this one, I couldn't ignore because I was like, how as a fan of a team do you not follow them? Like, if you were on social media, how are you not following the official account of the team that you supposedly are such a big fan of? And instead he's following like these weird janky articles, websites about, or news sites about the Philadelphia Eagles. So anywho, a few days prior, he had posted something about how Saquon Barkley had posted that he's not bending the knee to the woke agenda and he will not be participating in Pride Month, blah, 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 which is just untrue. Like, this has never been something that he has said. And this person is posting it like it's fact. And he's like, knew I liked him for a reason. I'm like, he never said that, but okay. And then a couple of days later, he's posting something about the owner of the Eagles, like basically being like happy to take a fine because they're not going to say anything about Pride Month and they are not celebrating Pride Month. And he's like, go birds. It was his comment on this article. All of these things are untrue. Literally, look at their official social media account. And 5 days prior, they had posted Happy Pride Month on the first day of June with an eagle in the rainbow colors. They have merch on their official website that is Eagles Pride merch. Okay. And I was like, I can't. I have to engage. And so I put a comment, which was just literally a link to the Eagles official Facebook page. Posting Happy Pride Month, and then everyone just started dogpiling on it, and like my husband posted a link to the Pride t-shirt that the Eagles are selling and was like, in case you want one. Like, we just kept going and it was really fun. My other friend was like, in case you're too dumb to open a link, I took a screenshot for you, here it is.
Oh my god.
So yeah, it was just really fun. I was like, what? Like, I just can't with people's media literacy, and I can't lie. I was like, I love know. That you're like championing something that's not true. Like, they are celebrating Pride Month, and also just like how much in our Lord Farquaad's year, 2025, are we really just being this homophobic? I was like, I know, no, not during Pride Month. I can't. And so I had to fact check on that. I love fact checking idiots, basically. But anyways, that's my story about that.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that wraps that up, essentially. Yeah, y'all, times are tough out there, as we have mentioned. So please take care of yourselves. That includes heeding the warnings that I am about to give about these chapters. We are discussing once and for all chapters 7 and 8. This week, and like the rest of the novel, basically from here on out, there is going to be mentions of a school shooting. So if that's something that you are not able to handle right now, understandably so, come hang out with us when you can. And also, we are on YouTube. Come watch us. Michael Ann does a beautiful job editing. Give her some love. Give her some love. She's absolutely sashing in.
Yeah, yay. Don't you want to see our faces and our dances? Like,
yeah, we're really thriving. Don't you want to see? We put makeup on for you people. I put on a red lip for you people, okay? Same. I mean, I do just love a red lip, but I wouldn't have been wearing it today if it wasn't for the fact that we were recording this episode. So, yeah. So there you go. That's all the news fit to print, as the New York Times once said. Back when they believed in journalism. Anyways, shots fired. Just kidding. They're doing their best, I guess. I don't know. Are they?
I don't know, man. Is anybody?
Is anyone doing their best? It's really hard to say. I will say also quick thing. Since the last time we all got together, I did go see a Metallica concert with my husband. I have been talking about this with y'all. So a couple updates. The outfit smashed it. The nails, I still actually have the nails. You're not going to be able to see. Michael Ann might put a little picture. The nails smashed it. And friendship bracelets were made. I made the whole group that I was going with Fuel Crew ones in honor of the song Fuel. And because we all like going to see the show Nightmare Fuel at HHN together during Horror Nights, and they featured the song Fuel. So I was like, oh, we're like the Fuel Crew. Actually, my friend Aaron was like, is it okay? He's like, I would like to wear this. And then this Horror Night season, is it okay with you if I give it to someone who actually is in the show Fuel? Because they were, hey, it's an Andrew. Because they really are part of the Fuel Crew. And I was like, that I would be honored. Yes, you can give it to them. But everyone wore them. And one of my friends like put up her Fuel Crew and like took a little video when they played Fuel. And that was really sweet. There was a girl behind us who was really sweet. She took a picture of all of us. Boys are not good at taking pictures at concerts. That was the one negative to this. I barely got it. I like barely got the front of my vest, honestly, in any photos. I'm a little devastated about that, but it's fine. But anywho's, so the girl behind us, I gave her a friendship bracelet. So I did do some friendship bracelet trading. I did not go up to the biggest, scariest metalhead. I just didn't have time. Like, we really didn't, I didn't leave my seat much. And when I did, I was in a merch line. I don't know. So I did some trading around me. So I did give out bracelets. And also my favorite part of the concert was at the end when I broke it down Swiftie style. And I was like, this is what I think about Metallica songs in relationship to Taylor Swift songs. And I was like, one, for y'all, like the way Metallica fans go hard for one is like when the Reputation set starts at the Eras Tour. Like, bitches love one. I knew my husband really loved it. I did not realize how much everyone loved one. So people went really hard. Enter Sandman is their Shake It Off, in which like the general population, that's probably the song that most people know, but like hardcore fans really aren't that into it. Like if you're listening to it in your car and it comes on, you're like, oh, whatever, skip. It's not really my fave. But when you see it live, you're like, admittedly, it does kind of slap. It does slap live. And that's how I feel like Metallica fans feel about Enter Sandman. I was saying Cruel Summer is probably their Master of Puppets, which again, like, has gotten really big, but like fans still really love it. And also is something that like was only the true, true hardcore fans used to know and now has gotten more popular in the last few years. That I would say that. And then my friend Justin asked me to say what would be Love Story. And I said, I'm going to say For Whom the Bell Tolls, because I feel like both, again, people that aren't super big fans and big fans love that one. And it's pretty well known. And it's like an oldie but a goodie. So those are my thoughts on Metallica via Swiftie terms. Had a lot of fun doing that. And the other thing that really, which is my lower third today, became an inside joke, but also truly, I'd like to thank Mike Muir, the lead singer of Suicidal Tendencies, for this, because I like kind of needed this pep talk, I think, in these dark times. They start off with a song called You Can't Bring Me Down, and the actual song on the album is not that long. This man, it's like it turns into a motivational speech. I thought we wouldn't see any other bands. I thought he was just going to still be on stage singing this one song. And it's kind of funny, but also like you could tell it really came from a pure place in his heart. And he really just wants everyone in these dark times to, he was like, I want you to say it with me. You can't breathe. And I was like, you know what? I needed that, I think, a little bit. So it became kind of this running gag of the, of our trip. And we love him, and he's just out there with his rat tail, and you can't bring him down. What I will tell you all is don't Google the band Suicidal Tendencies to learn more things about them, because then Google thinks that you are suicidal. So like make it abundantly clear that you were looking up the band, because I just like wasn't really thinking about what their band's name was. And I Googled them the other day and it was like, do you need help? And I was like, oh yes, Google, but like not like I'm fine. Not for that.
Not like that.
Not like that. Not like that. And it was just funny. It started giving me all these resources. And I was like, oh, no. Google's worried about me now. So those are the updates. Now everyone has been updated. I feel good. Is there anything in your life, Mike, you would like to update the people on before we dive into these chapters? Dr. Pepper.
No.
Still waiting for a sponsorship. Sponsors.
Thank still you so waiting much. For a sponsorship. I still need waiting. That ASAP.
Yeah.
Also, I decorated my pill bottles.
Oh yes, that's right, you did. That was your weekend craft. Do you have them handy to show us? I want to see them. Ah, so cute.
This one says she's fluoxed in the head.
Yeah, just like I love a it fun
little thingy. And then we have all to Adderall too well, actually.
We and love it.
This is like a they got like smiley faces.
Oh, I love them. Little rainbow smileys. Yeah. That's cute. I like it.
Oh, I also have a few more medications, but I haven't done those ones yet.
Yes, you know, a little at a time. That's fantastic. I love that. That's great.
Yeah. They make me happy. Yeah.
As they should. I think that they're fantastic. Yeah. Well, that's what we've got. We've been crafting pill bottles. We've been spreading the Swifty love to the metalheads. I will say Oh yes, hit me.
I am on the final episode of Pretty Little Liars.
Ah! It's happening. Oh my god, that's crazy. That is crazy. Wow, y'all, this is like, sad. That I asked you, yeah. What's next? What are you gonna watch next?
I'm thinking about the Vampire Diaries.
Oh yes, that's another one that I started and then never finished.
I've never seen that one either.
Oh man, honestly, the Vampire Diaries really slaps. Like it really was good. And then this is my problem with a lot of these shows and why I think I end up falling off them. It's like when you start breaking up the kid, like I understand if it's a drama show and if everyone's happy and together and perfect all the time, like there's no show. But certain times when you like break up and get back a couple too many times, I'm like, okay, enough is enough. Like I got to tap out of this and I'll like come back and see if they end up together. And then maybe like we'll be able to rewatch it. But when you're just like going in and you don't know how many seasons something's going to be because you're watching it in real time and they keep breaking up a couple you like, and I just can't take it anymore. I tapped out because like, and they started because they brought in these other characters to do a spinoff, the originals, which was good. Don't get me wrong. And the characters were interesting, but like, it was just too much. Like it started very contained with, contained characters or whatever. And then they just got a little too much for me. But I honestly think the first two seasons are really, really solid. Like teen angst TV, I think. So I think you're going to enjoy this one. I'm excited.
I hope so.
At least I hope you do. I think it's been great.
I will finally know who A is.
Yes, you're there. You're finally there. Are you watching it tonight? Like yes. Once we're finished recording? Oh my god, I'm so excited.
I was gonna watch it before we recorded, but then I had to take my dogs for walks, and then it was hot as hell, so I had to wash my face. It's been a whole thing.
It's been a whole thing. But she's here. We've made it. We're doing it.
I am disappointed in a few things.
Yeah, and Pretty Little Liars.
Number one.
Ezra always.
Ezra always. Two. They make up for this eventually, but they start off season six with Caleb and Spencer being a couple. Hate that.
Not a fan.
That. Allie and Emily are like married and have a family. Hate that.
Yeah.
Hate.
Yeah.
She should have ended up with Paige, not Allison.
Yeah.
I don't even understand how that was a love story that we should all have been rooting for. I thought we were all rooting for her to like stop liking Allie, but then now we're like, oh, they have babies.
Babies.
Spencer has an imaginary mother, not an imaginary mother. Spencer is adopted. But her dad is the same dad. So he just like spread his seed all over the place.
So the mom who actually looks exactly like she could be her mother is not her mother. That's wild.
Yeah, yeah. It's Jessica De Laurentiis in a wig.
Oh, but
it's her twin sister, but it's the same actress in a wig.
Gotcha.
But yeah, so that's that. But now Hannah and Caleb are married, so I don't love where they took Mona's storyline at all.
Hmm.
She like does end up like kind of slipping and losing it towards the end. And now I don't know where she is, but I didn't like that. Like, keep her a powerful bitch. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah.
Everyone's so mean to Mona. And I'm like, why?
Give love to Mona. Justice for Mona.
Justice for Mona.
Justice for
Mona. What else? Toby. So they broke up all the main couples.
Yeah.
They had Toby find a wife. Okay. He loves her. They're in love. They get into a car accident and she dies.
Oh, okay. Wow.
That's how Toby and Spencer are going to get back together, because the last episode is a year later.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, okay, he's had enough time to grieve his dead wife. Yeah. That was in like 4 episodes.
I barely knew ye.
I barely knew ye. Yeah. Yeah, that's everything. That's everything on my end.
That's everything. That's everything you missed on Glee. Speaking of everything you missed on Glee, Darren Criss, Tony Award winner. Ayo, I love that.
Wow. Congratulations.
Congratulations. The Tonys were pretty solid last night. I've seen better. I've seen worse.
I didn't even know they were on.
They were on. There was the incomparable Cynthia Erivo was hosting, and it was the 10th anniversary Hamilton Mabobber. So I was mostly watching for that, if I'm being honest, because I was not super familiar with a lot of things that were nominated this year. But that's kind of fun, because they always do a number from it. So then you kind of get to see, like, ooh, would I like that? Would I be interested in it? But yes, Darren Criss's musical, maybe Happy Ending, I believe. He won for lead actor in a musical. And as someone who's been following him since his Harry Potter musical days back at good old University of Michigan, I was very proud of my boy. I was like, I feel like I raised you. I didn't. We're like this. He's older than me. But in my mind, I was like, I knew you when you were just a little guy in college. And look at you now.
Look at you now. Tony Award winner. Yeah,
Tony Award winner. So I was very happy for him. And he's, you know, he's been through a lot the last few years. Both his dad and his brother passed away. And I was like, geez, it was a lot. Like, it was a lot for him.
God.
Yeah.
Like,
and so
at the same time?
No, but like not that far apart from each other. Like, I think within like a year, and it was a lot.
Wow.
And I'm like happy that he's, you know, doing as well as he can be, all things considered. Anyways, no one thought that they were going to get updates on Darren Criss tonight, but
no. But here we are.
But here we are. Okay. Just want to keep y'all abreast. Okay. Chapter 7. Let's dive in, because this one is meaty.
Beef.
Beef, straight up, all natural, 100% Angus beef. It's what's for dinner.
Chapter 7. So we open the chapter with Ambrose's first official day at work. He is obviously late because that is who he is. And when William asks him why he's late, he's like, oh, there was an accident on Main Street. And William's like, didn't you walk? And Ambrose says, yes, but I had to stop and rubberneck. I'm only human. And honestly, I respect the honesty.
Yeah, same.
Who of us would not have stopped to rubberneck?
Yep. Exactly. I would. You got a rubber neck. You're always curious.
Always curious. So he's like, they're like kind of asking like, oh, what was everyone okay? And he's like, oh yeah, it looked like it, but I could have garnered more detail, but it was important to me that I be on time. And Luna says, you weren't though. which I love. She's like so sassy.
She's like, quick fact check. Like,
you weren't on time. So, so Ambrose is getting the lowdown, explaining the whiteboards behind her. She gives, what's his name? Oh my God. Ambrose. Jesus.
Yeah. I was like, I don't know if you're talking about him or William. I was like, which him?
Lord. Okay. Ambrose. She, has Ambrose take a pen and paper and write some notes while they're talking. And Luna's reading them and she's like, I don't know why I'm reading them, but she just kept reading them. Number
the
one
notes are my favorite part of this chapter, I think.
Same. The first note is whiteboard is schedule.
Yes.
She's like, the next mom is like, the next event will be the Charlotte McDonald wedding. We'll be overseeing the rehearsal dinner tonight at the Lakeview Armory.
Ooh,
armory.
Armory? What the hell?
I took my driver's ed test at an armory.
Really? Hmm. I did mine at school.
Oh, yeah. Interesting.
When my driver's ed teacher, yeah. That was the thing. You could only do it on Fridays. He would only do it on Fridays, but you could do it with him on Friday mornings.
Nice.
Yeah.
And she says, tomorrow we'll have what we call a double hander, which means the church, a church ceremony followed by a reception at another location. He writes two hands this weekend. Lol. William says, you'll see locations are abbreviated next to the schedule. VB and BH, Village Baptist in Barn Hill. Number three, codes are involved.
Perfect. Ambrose, I love you. Fantastic.
Ambrose never changed.
Never changed.
So she is saying, mom is like, we have a lot to do, so you're going to go with Luna to pick up the flowers. And Luna like kind of like freaks out. She's like, what do you mean? I'm doing this alone. I do this alone. She's like, no, you have to bring Ambrose. It's his first day and he's shadowing you. And so the notes, number four, I'm a shadow. Exclamation point.
I'm a shadow.
I'm a shadow. So Luna is really trying to be like, I do not want this fucking guy. Like, have him do stuff in the office. You guys can oversee him. And she's like, no, blah, blah, blah. You can just take him. And Ambrose says, you guys, Luna's not my number one fan. Although I thought that might have changed after last night. So everyone's like, last night? What went down last night?
Record scratch.
Yep. So they find out that she went to that party and she danced and they were both, William and mom were both like shocked by this news. William said, you were dancing at a party? And she's like, why is that so shocking? And he looked at my mom and they both burst out laughing. Number five on Ambrose's notes is Luna doesn't get out much. Me either.
Same boy, same. We're all just a bunch of Lunas here.
We really are.
Not Ambrose. Ambrose is out there like living his best life, but the rest of us.
Yeah. So she's like, okay, I'm going to Kirby's to get the oh my God, I just got my Adderall isn't working. I just got so distracted by Kirby because I grew up with a girl named Kirby Lake. Hmm. And I just thought that was like the coolest name ever. Like Kirby Lake. And she was like so cool and so pretty and like so like nonchalant.
That's like a main character in like a coming of age story for sure. Like she should be a Sarah Dessen character. Kirby Lake.
I was very disappointed, and this is none of my business, and I haven't talked to this girl since 2004, but I was disappointed to see that she took her husband's last name. So she's no longer Kirby Lake. And I'm like,
a great name.
Mistake.
Girl. Yeah.
Mistake.
Choices were made, Kirby. Choices were made.
Kirby, such a fun name. But anyway, so she's like, I'm going to go get the flowers. And she tries to leave. And mom is like, you have to take Ambrose. We have a very high-strung bride coming in 5 minutes, followed by a potential client whose wedding could make us a lot of money. We won't be able to supervise and can't risk another tape explosion. And Luna's just mad. I don't understand why you hired him. And she's like, because his mother asked me to. She said that he would be a good worker if directed appropriately. And she says, other than me and William, you're the best director I know. And Luna responds, don't kiss up to me. It's embarrassing. She's like, you might like having company. And she's like, I don't dislike people. I'm just not fond of him. This was an important distinction, I felt, but she barely seemed to hear me, already turning to call his name as she gestured for him to join us. She's like, calls him over and he comes over. He opens the door for her and she's like, my first thought was to just stop in my tracks right where I was. And then she was like, well, that's petty and childish. What am I doing? So she just goes through the front door and she notices earlier in the meeting, she noticed that Ambrose had a boa feather fall out of his hair. And when they're leaving, she sees there's another one. And I just have one thing to say. Take a fucking shower.
Yeah, my dude. Well,
gross.
I mean, we are going to learn that he basically came from the person's house he was staying at. But still, like, could you not?
Still, like, use your shower.
At their house, you know?
Right. If you can eat pancakes at their house, you can bathe.
If you feel comfortable enough to eat pancakes and stay the night and whatever, you should feel comfortable enough to bathe in their house. That's true. That's true.
Yes. So they're in the car and he is touching everything. He spent the first 5 minutes of the drive messing with the vents, trying to find maximum cooling velocity. And then he was changing the radio a bunch. She told him to stop. And
I have to point out that she says this was our fourth round of my presets. And I was like,
Oh, yeah.
Back in the day when we all had our radio presets and now no one listens to the radio. So it was fun to just be like, one, two, three. Three's on commercial. Go back to two. Like, I don't know.
Yep.
Part of me misses it. Not the commercials.
Those were the days.
So the days. I was like, presets, yes, throwback. Had to mention it.
Oh my god, what was the morning show in Boston I listened to all the time? One of them was named Pebbles. I need to know now. I'm sorry. Kiss.
Today I had a throwback when the song Hideaway came on because back in college, I used to, like a lot of college kids, stay up late studying. Like I'd get home late from work and be like, I'm just going to cram for a little bit, or I'm going to finish this paper now so I don't have to like wake up early. I'd rather just like do it while I'm still going. And I used to put on BBC Radio 1 a lot because they had it like you could listen to it on like the iPlayer, like on obviously online. And because of the time difference in England, their breakfast show would be starting. So I used to always listen to their breakfast show late at night. And I remember like the years that I was doing that, like one summer I was doing it a lot. And that song Hideaway was like always, it was obviously like a big hit at the time. And so, yeah, like I had a throwback today. I'm like, oh, remember when I used to listen to the BBC Radio 1 breakfast show?
I love that. Yes. I remember now this show was called Ramiro and Pebbles. Yes. Oh. And I went to visit my sister a couple times ago. I think it was like a year ago, maybe. And we were listening to the radio, and Ramiro and Pebbles are still doing their show. So shout out to Ramiro and Pebbles.
Yes. Thriving. They're going strong.
So back to the book, Luna is annoyed with him changing all of the buttons. She's like, just leave it on one thing. And he says, I can't listen to bad music. It's like a thing with me. And she was like, fine, talk radio it is. But that is a mistake because the news is talking about the California school shooting. that we saw happen a few chapters ago. I found it interesting that they were like, so the gunman was like a quiet guy. Nobody could have seen it coming. Everybody was kind of surprised. And I was like, do we even talk about school shooters this way anymore? Where we're like, he was.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
I don't think so.
I feel like they have tried, like, obviously a lot of people are always like, who is the suspect is like always the thing that like people are kind of interested in, but they have tried to shy away from making them the focus and trying to like come up with like a reason why they did it or whatever. And they try not to print their name that much because like, obviously these people kind of became famous and copycat people and whatever. And so they've decided to, I think a lot of times in coverage, focus more on the victims and stuff like that. But obviously there's still always an article that's like, this is the person, blah, 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 blah. But yeah, like in this page, when she talks about like, they're like talking to the classmates and stuff, which was definitely a thing of the time. Like you would go to the classmates and be like, could you believe that they would ever do this? And they'd be like, yeah, I had first period with him and I didn't, you know, whatever. I don't feel like we do that as much anymore, which is probably a good thing. But yeah, probably still in this era we did, because this is what, 2015, right? So yeah. Which is crazy to think that that's 10 years ago now, but I feel like we have
2017.
Okay. Wait, so
is this from 2017?
I know, like it's not, it's like 2017 doesn't seem that long ago, but it's like kind of now.
It is,
know?
It's pre-pandemic.
Yeah, that's pre-pandemic. Yes. Okay, this is 2017. That's correct. So yeah, pre-pandemic, I mean, 8 years ago, but still, like, I don't know. That's kind of crazy. Like, this would have been, yeah, I don't know. That's weird. That's weird to think about. Like, I was already, like, living in Orlando in 2017, like, when this was published. And that's, like, when I feel like my, like, adult life, in air quotes, started.
Literally. I'm still adult. Living an adult life.
Yeah, exactly. Same. Adult-ish. Yeah, that's kind of weird. I don't know.
Yeah, it is a sign of the times. But she hits the button again because she like just they actually switch topics in Russia, government officials, and she shuts it off. And Ambrose is like, wow, now who's messing with the radio? And she doesn't say anything because she's like having a panic attack, basically. And he just starts talking. He's like, crazy about that shooting. I watched some of the coverage with Millie's mom this morning when she made us pancakes. And this is when we find out that he slept on some girl named Millie's couch last night. And her mom made him pancakes, which I love.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts talking about the shooter a little bit more. He's like, they're saying the kid had a fixation on other school shootings and did a report on them. On one, stood up in front of the class and talked all about it. She is like starting to feel worse, and she starts to say like, I can't. And he's like, seriously, me neither. I mean, I didn't love high school either, but come on, no need to take it out on everyone else. Such a simplified little boy way of seeing it. 100%. Oh my god,
he's like, y'all, I mean, high school, yeah, for the birds, but like, don't take it out on him, don't take it out on everyone else, as if you like he didn't kill people.
Oh, right,
crazy. But yeah, that's, I mean, Ambrose. Mm-hmm. It makes sense.
So then he kind of realizes that she's not okay, so he's like, hey, are you okay? And she is like, she's about to start crying, so she's like, why didn't you like high school? He says, well, it was really a myriad of reasons. First, I don't do well in standardized learning environments. Also, I have problems with conventional forms of authority and compromised attention span and can be super annoying. Those are direct quotes, by the way. My guy has ADHD.
Oh, yes, very much so.
No, well, doubt I'm about so it. Sorry that your parents didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
But he's like, yeah, that's a direct quote. And she's like, from counselors? And he was like, and teachers and psychiatrists and peer evaluations. And she's like, oh, so it was your peers that said you're annoying. And he was like, no, That was one of my shrinks. And she like is shocked by that because unprofessional.
I hope that you did not return to that psychiatrist right? after that. Actually, I don't think this is a good fit. We need to go our separate ways.
But he's like, I know. I was like, wait, that's not a doctor term. Is annoying a diagnosis now? And if so, can I get meds for it? You should have gotten meds for sure. So they keep driving. She is still kind of freaking out. She says that when they reach the top of the ramp, the heavy traffic, now a distant roar below, she realized she's been holding her breath. So she's like, keep talking. She said, did you go home with one of those girls last night? And he's like, well, yes, in the technical sense, but nothing happened. It just crashed on her couch. B doesn't worry if when I don't come home, I communicate with her and I check in and remember, I'm annoying. She needs a break. she compliments B like, oh, she seems like a really nice person. She's like, she is. It's not easy being the good one, but she's a natural. So they keep talking about how she doesn't have any siblings. And he was like, oh, that's not surprising, basically, because you like to be alone. And she's like, I don't like to be alone. And he's like, you just don't want to be with me, right? And he tells her, like, I heard you talking to your mom about how you don't like me. And he says, she was like, I'm sorry. It's just, I'm used to working alone. And he's like, look, you don't have to explain yourself. I'm not for everyone. I love that.
I love that too.
Let's all be like Ambrose.
Yeah. I was like, I really wish I was like that cool about just being like, I understand I'm not everyone's cup of tea and that's fine. I think way more people need to be, you're not going to get along with everyone. And like, that's okay. But it does always feel very personal when you were experiencing it.
Yes. She says, what was it like to be so confident even in your failings that you weren't the least bit bothered when other people pointed them out? She says, I was almost envious. I am.
Yeah, I fully am. I would really like to know. Again, his psychiatrist seemed like they kind of sucked, but some of them must have done an okay job because he is very secure in himself. And I think that that is a thing to be envious of for sure.
Mm-hmm. They are close to Kirby's. She talks about how they have a couple different florists depending on the bride's needs. Kirby's is the place for like bohemian wildflower kind of fun weddings like that. She also really likes Kirby's because they're family owned. Mm-hmm. So when you call them, you actually get to talk to them instead of a corporate voicemail. And she says, okay, we're here for Gerber daisies, glads, lilies, and sunflowers, 10 buckets total. Like, she's going to try to give us an extra bucket. Don't take it. And he's like, okay, 10 buckets, Gerbers, glads, sunflowers, lilies, no extras. And she's like, oh. You know, he remembered. So then her phone rings and it's Jill. She says, Jilly most likely wanting to catch up while en route from one Kit Kat activity to another. She hits ignore. So she's like, I'm just going to talk to her later. And Ambrose calls her out for her ringtone. He's like, it sounds like this awful pop song. And she's like, nope, let's go. Ringtones. Musical ringtones.
I know. I love that. Also, when she talks about the different brides and she says wildflowers and mason jars part, and then she said increasingly popular among younger brides, and I was like, yes, hashtag millennial weddings. Like, this is a whole trend on TikTok now, is like being like, oh, the mason jars to millennial weddings or whatever. And I was like, that's so funny that Sarah like had that pegged in this era. I want to say it like really started probably, like, this is, it's hitting its peak, like, probably around, like, 2011, 2012 to, I want to say, probably about, like, 20, like, we're probably starting to get a downward spiral, like, not spiral, downturn, spiral. Well, you know, we're all spiraling downward here, probably by the, like, right as we got close to, I would say, like, pre-COVID, so probably, like, 2019 is when it kind of tapered off a little bit.
Yeah.
Not to say people don't still use them, but I feel like once we entered, like, the era of being brides in, like, the 2020s, that was not as much of a thing.
No, the burlap and the mason jars were a thing of the past.
A thing of the past, but it was definitely all the rage for a while. My sister, who was a 2012 bride, yeah, definitely had mason jars at her wedding, and there was burlap, and yeah, it was the thing. It was trendy.
It was. They go inside. The owner, Mrs. Kirby, knows her, so she greets her. And she says, like, oh, I have some gorgeous peonies I want to show you, your mom's favorite. And she tries to say, like, no, space is tight. And she's like, you can always make extra room. And then she looks at Ambrose and says, who is this, a boyfriend? And she says, no, this is Ambrose, who works with us. And she was, and so she's like, oh, well, I'm sure you can forgive me for getting hopeful that you might have found another romantic prospect. And then she looks at Ambrose and says, so heartbreaking, what happened with that boy of hers? And she's, like, so, like, shocked that she's kind of, like, taken aback by this. But because she's, like, wait, like, she wasn't expecting her to talk about that. She was, like, she was remembering back to how she mentioned him to Mrs. Kirby because she was so happy. And so she wanted to tell everybody. And then the next time Mrs. Kirby asked about her, it was after he had passed. And she told her that, too. And it's just, like, devastating. So she tries to move this along. She's like, we have to go. Like, can we get the flowers and get out of here? And she's like, yes, but you have to see the peonies. And she avoids Ambrose's gaze. Like, she doesn't want to talk to him about whatever, about that whole situation. She didn't want to see, like, surprise, pity, or empathy on his face. So she's like, I would just rather him be annoying. So, 45 minutes later, they're back on the two-lane highway. They have all the flowers, and she kept waiting for Ambrose to ask her more about what Mrs. Kirby said about Ethan, but he never does. He messed with the vents again, the seatbelt, the radio, and he sneezed because of all the flowers. Over the course of about 3 miles, I went from dreading him bringing it up to just wishing he would. At least then it would be happening and not about to happen. So she's like, I just want him to basically ask.
Yeah. Oh, poppers!
She says, excuse me.
Willow, did you learn how to open the door?
Oh, she does. Zuko. She knows how to open the door.
She's like, I'm so clever. And a smart girl.
A naughty little naughty girl. So he asks her if they can stop. He needs a drink. So they go into this, like, small convenience store. It's small and dusty. There's a little dog who's small and skinny and has got scruffy fur. And he's very cute, and Ambrose immediately gets on the floor with him, and he's like, wow, your dog is awesome, and the guy who owns the store just, like, grunts. They get their drinks and go to the front of the thingy-mabobber, and Ambrose is like, you are a good boy, you know, like, giving him all sorts of love. The man looks over, and he looks irritated, and she feels kind of protective. She's like, it's a fact Ambrose got on people's nerves, but this guy had only been around him a few seconds. So, like, right. What the hell? So when she gets up to the counter, a car beeps and the dog starts barking. The man yells at him, shut up, goddamn dog. He's still barking. Ambrose is trying to calm him down. The guy is like, he barks every time he hears a beep. It's like nails on a chalkboard. She's trying to get out of there. And the guy kicks the dog out back. He says, get out, go play in traffic. So this guy doesn't love this dog, clearly.
No.
They get in the car and she turns on the engine and he's like, oh, wait, you know what? I have to go to the bathroom. So he runs out to the back of the building where the bathrooms are. And when he comes back, he has the dog. He has stolen the dog. And I love that, honestly. That's I might have done the same thing, to be honest.
Yeah.
I couldn't just leave him there. Can you go a little faster? Like, he's worried that the guy's going to come chase them down. Don't think he would, even if he noticed, to be honest.
Yeah.
But Ambrose is like, look how happy he is. And he gives him lots of love. And it's very cute, honestly. I'm like, yes.
Yes.
And she says, only then did I realize minutes had passed since I'd been thinking about Ethan and having to tell Ambrose that story. This would have made me happy, I knew, or at least relieved, but instead I felt sad. Sometimes forgetting was just as bad as remembering.
Yeah, ain't that the damn truth?
Mm-hmm. Grief is a bitch.
A real bitch. And yes, Ambrose is like the most endearing he's been this entire book in this chapter, I think. Like, first, the list is hysterical. Then him, like, immediately being a dog lover, I was like, oh, we love that. And then the fact that he, like, rescues this dog from, like, its terrible existence, I was like, okay, yes, Ambrose, we love you.
Yes, I love that. So when they get back, her mom doesn't even notice the extra peonies, but she does notice the dog. And she is... what's her face? Luna has like no interest in explaining the situation. She's just like, yep, that's a dog. Ambrose ties an old scarf around his neck. He's just like playing with him and they give him water and he's so cute. She's like, but my mom's not an animal person, so just like keep that in mind, like proceed with caution. They did pick up lunch, so William goes and gets that with her, or somebody does, they go get it. They leave the dog out back. He drank that water up. He was very thirsty. makes me sad, you know?
Yeah, poor baby.
But he's so cute, and he's so happy, and he's wagging his tail. Ambrose is like, he likes you, and she's like, I smell like lunch. Our little negative...
She can't like take a compliment. She can't you know, see the positive in things.
Yes, she's like very I cannot think of the word. Somebody's yelling it at me right now.
Instead of what is she, pessimistic? Is that what you're thinking of? She's a bit of a pessimist.
Yeah,
she's a half glass empty, not a half glass full kind of person. And Ambrose is definitely like a half glass full kind of person.
Yes, he's like the glass is all the way full as far as I'm concerned person.
Yeah.
She says that she's not really an animal person. She wanted a cat or a dog more than anything when she was a kid, but her mom was like, nope, not happening. So then she eventually just stopped asking. And she says, it wasn't that I didn't like pets. I just figured they were for other people, like Noah's parents and gluten-free diets. You need the love of a dog, Luna. Embrace this dog.
Yeah, it'll change things for you. It's also really weird when I say dog and Luna in the same sentence because it just makes me think of my Luna. Oh, my little precious angel.
She is so precious. So Ambrose is like, what should we name him? We don't know his name. Like, we can name him anything. And she's like, we? And she says, what's B going to think about this? And he's like, oh, she'll be fine. Like, it will be fine. She won't have to deal with him anyway. He'll go everywhere with me. It's just a small dog. He's compact. Won't be a problem. She's like, you have to feed it and bring it to the vet and yada, yada, yada. And he's
like doing the thing that like a mom does when a kid brings home a dog. She's like, this is your responsibility.
Yes. She's like, here's the list of things that you have to do now. And he's like, wow, you think really far ahead. And she was like, no, I just think. Like, what are you going to do when you go to school? And he's like, listen, there aren't consequences right now. There's just a happy dog. What do you think about Jerry?
Yeah.
And then she not out of nowhere, but she like, you know, kind of stops the conversation to be like, why didn't you ask me about what Mrs. Kirby said? And he's like, you mean about your boyfriend? And he's like, yeah. And he's like, well, do you want me to ask? And she was like, no, I hate talking about it. He was like, okay, then I'm not going to ask. I might be a dog stealer as far as you're concerned, but I'm able to follow the basic rules of civility. If I was going to talk about a bad breakup, I'd want to be the one to bring it up. You did not. So he thinks like it's a bad breakup. He thinks it's like a heartbreak, normal teenage kid stuff. And she doesn't correct him. She's like, why would he assume anything else? And then she says, I don't think he's a Jerry. And Ambrose is like, you might be right. No worries. He'll tell us his name when he wants us to know. She's like, he'll tell us? And he's like, yeah, in his own way. Like, he's so cute. She says,
a Dustin guy is always endearing. A Dustin guy with a dog, like Dexter also with the dog, like, it takes up a notch for me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It's, yeah. Serious. So she's like, she says, I'd been thinking when I asked him about what Mrs. Kirby had said. The truth was I felt I owed it to Ethan that he was not just a boy I once loved, much less one more face in a news story you dreaded having to hear. He was more than that. And yet talking about him to others felt too often like appropriating something. What did it take to claim a person, really? One perfect night, a few weeks of phone calls, hundreds of texts, all of them full of future plans and promises made. I'd spent less than a full day with Ethan, but still felt like he knew me better than just about everyone. You can't measure love by the time put in, but the weight of those moments. Some in life are light, like a touch. Others you can't help but stagger beneath. Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Sarah, stunning. Stop it right now.
And that's a huge part of grief too, is like thinking you are like, well, I wasn't close enough.
Yes, the feeling like you're appropriating something, I thought was such a good line. And I think especially at this age, because like when you're a boyfriend, girlfriend, and like, again, clearly they were kind of like long distance. It's like, well, I wasn't his parents. Like, they get to grieve. Or I would, like, you always feel like you, no matter what your relationship is with the person, even if that person is your everything, like, you get this weird feeling of, like, I shouldn't feel this way. Like, other people have it worse or grieving worse or whatever. And it's like, that's not, it's not a competition. Like, everyone's allowed to grieve in their own way, in their own right. You all have a right to it. But I think that is such a common feeling, especially when you're younger, I think, to be like, this isn't really like, oh, no, like, I don't get to like make a big deal about this. It's not a big deal for me. It's a big deal for them. And it's like, no, like, it's a big deal for you, too.
When my high school boyfriend, Jim, shout out. Well, not shout out because he did. But when he died, I remember feeling like I had to justify why I was so upset.
Yeah.
And like justify to other people, like, no, I am allowed to be grieving. Like, and nobody was even challenging me, but it was just like in my head.
But
I
in
was
your
like,
mind. Yeah.
Yeah. In my mind, I was like, no, I am allowed to grieve. Like, you know, have I seen him in 10 years? No. But as she says, like, you can't measure love in time, but the weight of the moments. And, you know, he was my first love. He was like one of my best friends, blah blah blah. So it's like,
I remember like when you went to the funeral, you were like worried about what like these girls would say, and then you're like, and then of course all of them were lovely to me, and it's like, yeah. and I bet in their minds they were like, oh, I'm not like, everyone's thinking it, like, you know what I mean, like when you like go to a funeral, that like, I don't know. I think we're all probably thinking the same thing.
I wouldn't describe those girls as lovely.
They were not lovely.
But they were nice to me.
Okay, yes. They were like lovely people, but they were like
nice in the moment.
Nice to you. Yeah, nice to you at the funeral. Exactly.
Yes, it was. They were.
I would not use the word lovely to describe those girls. You're like, quick fact check. Fact like, check noted.
Just want to make sure we are all aware. Yeah.
Honestly, though.
High school was fun, right, guys?
Such a good time. Definitely the best years of your life.
Best years of your life.
Not at all.
Not even close. If those were the best years of my life, we would have a problem.
God, yeah. Money back, please.
Seriously. So she's like, this was on my mind all afternoon as Ambrose and I rinsed mason jars and put the flowers in and put them in lined boxes to be transported to the armory. Insane.
To the armory?
She says occasionally he went and checked on the dog, bringing him snacks, more water, an old dish towel to curl up on. But otherwise, they worked in silence. She remembers him saying, people will tell you what they want you to know. And she said, if that was true, I would have brought up Ethan right away, not just with him, but with everyone I met. That's what you do about the best thing that's ever happened to you. Unless, I guess, it's also the worst. Our poor girl.
Yeah.
At 6 p.m., Mom and William left for the venue, and she figured she was going to have to bring Ambrose home with a dog, but instead a pretty redhead with seriously ripped shoulders, very specific, wearing yoga clothes and sunglasses, she said, like, hey, I'm looking for Ambrose, and she's like, oh, he's around back. He'll be right out. She's like, thank you. Ambrose turns the corner and he's like, Annika! Annika! I'd like, no. Remember in Gilmore Girls when they're watching, they're talking about Pippi Longstockings?
Yeah.
She's like, Annika! Annika! That's what I always think about.
You're like, and that is what is always in my head.
Yep. And she's like, oh, I didn't know you had a dog. And he's like, oh, full of surprises. And then he gets into the car. The dog jumps in and she watches them drive away. The dog's head poking out the window. She said, on the way home, I changed the radio station 6 times before I decided finally on silence.
Yeah.
She's struggling, our girl.
She's going through it. She's really having a day. And it
really is.
And as weird as it sounds, I think Ambrose could be a good person to talk to about it when she's ready, obviously, and not when a moment before.
Yes, of course.
But yeah, chapter 7. That was chapter 7. Now it's time to dive into chapter 8. Baby, it's very short.
It's super long.
Super, super long chapter here. The whole, like, 3 pages it is. So again, this in the tradition of this novel where we kind of get these non-linear sort of storytelling little flashbacks every once in a while, we are flashing back to the magical night where she fell in love with Ethan, where they went to the end of the worlds and whatnot on the beach together, and she's pointing out different constellations, and so Ethan's asking her about it, and he's like, oh, that clump there at the bottom, and she tells him that she doesn't know, and he's like, I thought you knew this stuff, and she was like, oh, you know, of course, as we all do, like, we make ourselves sound more impressive when we're young and in love and trying to introduce ourselves to people. So she'd been like, oh, this is a Big Dipper, this is a Little Dipper, and she's like, okay, I know those three, like, the three that she pointed out are basically the constellations she knows, which I think is great. He also think that's pretty great, and he says here again, such, like, Sarah Dessen boy girl bands, you know, Sarah Dessen boy bands. He's like, and here I thought you could get us home strictly by celestial navigation, like an old mariner. And she's like, oh, nope, we'd be screwed. Sorry. And so he's like, you know, I'm still impressed. Like, you can at least name some. I made up my own. And she's like, oh, like, you named them. And he's like, oh, you know, it's like those ink blots. And he says that he calls one the dented laundry hamper. And she says that doesn't quite have the same ring as Cassiopeia. Again, they're just, like, talking about stars. Very romantic, honestly. Very. Young love. And they're just, like, having the bands. Talks to her about the dish scrubber. And she says, you know, now that she looked at it, she could kind of see the resemblance. And then she asks, like, what does it say about him that all of them are related to household items? And he's like, oh, I'm glad you asked. I think it speaks to my domesticity, also lack of imagination. Another one, he's like, oh, potholder and all this stuff. And then he calls one an EKG. And she points out that that's not a household item. And he's like, maybe not at your house. What's going on in my house? So again, they're just kind of like dancing. She says, after the dance, sweet, awkward, perfect, we'd walk past the end of the world through the shifting tides. It was then he'd taken my hand wordless, easily, geez, a stretch of dark damp. And later we found ourselves on the other side of the Colby Peninsula. When the lights of the boardwalk appear in the distance, we both stopped walking. So again, yes, we're just having like this wonderful, you know, like she, I love that she keeps calling it the end of the world. It just really shows like in her mind, like when she thinks of this night, like the absolute like grandness of it and like the perfectness of it. And like, you know, which often is when you're like first falling in love with someone, yeah. Like, you know, obviously you're like, I don't know any of your bad stuff right now. We only know the good. But she says, you know, she'd always been nervous about boys. She wasn't like Jilly, who when like Jilly was around guys, she really came alive. She was kind of like a flirt kind of thing. She says, I was always jumpy to her. The particulars, the mechanics of a hand on mine or an arm over my shoulder, the way my lips fit his in a kiss, specifics of saliva and tongue as I was being graded on form. The kind of passion and attraction I saw in movies or read about in books seemed impossible to me. Entirely too fraught with details and elbows. Yeah, same. And I feel like in middle school, high school, like all my girlfriends were like really cool with guys and I was so not cool and I was always overthinking things. And again, this is probably my neurodivergence coming into play, some of it. We talked recently in the group chat about feeling like cameras were watching you or something, whatever. And I remember like thinking when I was kissing a guy for the first time, instead of just like letting myself enjoy the kiss, was like thinking about how I watch kisses in movies. And I was like, if someone was filming me right now, would it look good? Would it look like the movies? And then I stopped myself and I was like, why am I thinking like that? I should just be enjoying this kiss. You're kissing a boy for the first time, Bethany. And right then and there, I should have known, y'all, that I was neurodivergent, but I just kept on keeping on with my life. Yeah, maybe it is a normal, I don't know, but, and it's probably not a normal thing. Obviously, I think as I got older, I kind of just like, and also kind of once I started getting more attuned with my brain, would yes. just kind of like let things be. But like, truly, I'm not saying like, I was like, I didn't date anyone or like I dated people, whatever. But I just remember thinking like, when does it feel natural? Like, when are you not overthinking things? And I always remember wanting to get to that part of a relationship. And I feel like a lot of people really like when things are new and whatever. And I'm like, no, like, I love being a married woman, y'all. Like, this was the life that was meant for me. Like, we know our weird little quirks. I come home, I'm like, we speak in our own little weird way.
Exactly.
We're like, oh, our cute little dog. And like, I don't have to like impress him. You know what I mean? Like, that's right. The kind of part of a relationship I like. But yes, also magical, young love, whatever. I don't know. I don't know if that part's for me. I was never a dating person. But anywho, so this really spoke to me. I was like, yes, queen, yes. Like, when you feel like all of your girlfriends, like, have it figured out and you feel, like, so dumb about dating. So, Luna, I feel you. But she says, from the start, Ethan was different, which I guess is kind of how you know when someone is good for you, when it doesn't, when you're, you know, you can be natural. She says, I felt so comfortable with him, even just standing near him. There at the breaking waves, I'd wanted to lean in closer. It was the same way I felt now as he reaches for your hand to smooth back my hair. When he kissed me, I thought of nothing but how he tasted. And it's like, yes, yes. Aww. When you're just like in it and you're like, she's not overthinking herself. I love that. She says, for the rest of that night, in my memory anyway, we were always in contact, my hand in his arm over my shoulder. Just like how easy everything was. She said, everything seemed bright and different after so long in the darkness, even though most of the businesses were closed. There was one neon sign lit, however, in the window of a narrow storefront, coffee and pie. It read, two bikes were parked just outside. Oh, I think I might know where y'all are at. Mm-hmm. And she's like, we gotta go, which you should. I've heard that the pie is fantastic. And they go ahead and she says that shook the hand of my shoes. My hair felt wild. I tried to smooth it. My lips raw from kissing. I looked up at Ethan. I saw sand along his temple. She goes to kind of like have a little romantical brush it off moment. She says it was such a simple, fleeting moment, but later when I think of it, I would sob until my chest ached. The big moments with Ethan weren't, well, big. Instead, it was these tiny increments and gestures that I clung to in order to hold on to him. It was why now, as I was never able to tell the story all at once, my memory fractured in certain places, wanting to stop just right there, on the boardwalk and the throne light of a neon sign, his head dipped down as I pulled my fingers through his hair, sand falling onto my feet. That night still in progress with daylight hours away. Yeah. Sarah, you're just really just coming for me here. Just a punch right in the heart with some of this stuff.
Yes, 100%.
Good. Good stuff.
But good stuff, yeah. Sarah. You did it again.
Sarah, always. Chapters 7 and 8.
Yes, fantastic. Finished. We love your characters. Yes. We love you.
Yes. Yes. All the above.
So, hypothetically, we'll be back next week with another episode. But
we're trying our best. Saw
our Instagram, it's kind of like a trying our best year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So be patient with us as the world crumbles around us.
Yeah.
And like and subscribe and tell your friends. And
yeah,
we love you.
And we love you. And while you're patient with us and letting us do the best that we can, we are want to extend that to all of you. Be patient with yourselves. It's crazy. You know, be easy on yourselves, take care of yourselves, and we will chat with you soon. That is what we will promise at the end of every episode. We will chat soon. I'm not even going to say a schedule because then, but yes, take care of yourselves. We're just going to say at the end of every episode for the time being, see you, talk to you soon, because I feel like anytime we put a date on something or say a schedule, then we can't do it. And then we feel guilty for not keeping to it. And we're just trying our best. So
we're trying our best.
Soon. My mic literally gave out at me at the end of the episode because that's where we're at in 2025. But yeah, take care of yourselves. Bye, everyone.
Bye.